Good evening. Welcome to the regular meeting of the Planning and Land Use Commission of the Town of Castle Valley. It is Thursday, July 2nd, 2026. It is now 6:30 p.m. and I call this meeting order. This will be a hybrid meeting held electronically by Zoom and also in person at the anchor site of the town building. At this point, we could call roll.
Okay.
Thank you.
We have Matt Grove.
Okay.
Commission Co-Chair George Hunter, Commission Co-Chair Ryan Anderson, Commission Member Jamie Tuck, Mayor Jasmine Duncan, Edmont Hunter, Thaline Roth, Colleen Thompson, and Jocelyn Buck, and Debbie Tuck.
And there's no one online.
Yeah, correct.
Thank you. I'd like to take a motion for adoption of the agenda as proposed.
I move that we adopt the agenda as presented.
I'll second that.
Motion George, second Janie. Take a vote. George?
Aye.
Janie?
Aye.
Brian? Aye. We're down to agenda item number two, swearing in of two open positions to the Planning and Land Use Commission. We have the infamous Jonathan Buck here with us to do her
position. Not with us, but I thank Jeff for re-upping, and I thank Matt for joining the first. You just have to swear you in.
Okay.
Just repeat after me. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and obey and the Constitution of the United States.
I do solemnly swear that I support and affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of this state, and I will discharge my duties of my office with fidelity.
And the Constitution of this state, and I will discharge the duties of my office.
Thank you. Then I just need you to sign
that.
Sign that, and you're locked before you to be put over there.
So I'd like to, at this point, give Matt the opportunity to introduce himself.
Thank you. My name is Matt Gross. I live on Miller Lane. I moved out to Castle Valley a year ago this past January. I've lived in Moab on and off, but mostly on, for 30 years. Started life as a Tagalong River guide and did all the odd jobs in Moab, went to grad school, came back, worked in politics for a while back east, worked for the Southern Utah Wilderness Center as their media director for 13 years, and I currently work for the foundation called Resource Place, and love Castle Valley. I tell a story of being out here at a friend's place in 1999 and be like, this is great, maybe in my 50s, well, here I am. Set your intentions and get into it. Yeah. Thank you. Nice to be here.
Welcome.
We're glad to have you. So agenda item number three is open public comment. Is there any?
Yeah, well, Ryan.
Yes.
I have some comments to make about item six. So I don't know where you are going to make those statements now or when you get to the item.
Which would you prefer to? I'm not.
I think it might make more sense. Way. I forget.
Duly noted. We'll take the comments possible when they are germane. I was going to, during this public comment, thank Marie, but I think what I'll do is write it down. And I appreciate both of you signed card for it. I think it was 22 years of service.
Wow. 7 minutes.
I will write the comments down and put them in the car. So we are down to approval of the minutes. You've had the opportunity to read over the minutes. Are there any changes?
I would make the most accept that we draft minutes from the meeting of Thursday, June 4th, 2026.
Motion, Janie Cox. Is there a second?
I will second.
Second, Dora Jane. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Yes, Matt, you may vote.
I vote aye. I wasn't at the meeting, but I'm going to.
So, reports. Is there any correspondence we've had?
No.
I've seen none. Did you see any?
Only regarding, yeah, the letter that we had for ICHS. That's it.
Okay, good. Thank you. Building permit agent, Pauline, you're up.
Hey, in June, there were 5 permits, carport on lot 74 for the Hollins, an addition on 351 Taylor Lane to a pre-existing cabin, a certificate of land use compliance that means that we did require a county building permit, but still active by the zoning on lot 161 for some animal cabins and shades. A certificate of occupancy for an addition to the spouses built on their house at 151, and an electrical permit to run power to shed on 302. In progress, lot 386, we did a lot of back and forth about our definition square footage and their revising their plans. Still working on a non-routine solar lot 157. And previously I reported as in progress a barn remodel on lot 137, but they're changing their plans, so that has been abandoned. I understand they're going to sell that barn. It's a new metal barn, so if somebody wants one, might contact it. The people that bought the haulers, where the mules were, press for you. She wants to build a studio. She was going to remodel the shed, but it was maybe not worth it to do that. So.
The one with all the poplars around it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Right, we got some catty corner.
Oh, the structure hasn't been there very long. Oh,
no, I did a permit for it 2 years ago.
Probably in really good shape.
So I'm sure somebody will want that metal barn so they can put it up somewhere else.
Hmm.
Anyway, that's no longer going to be renamed.
Okay.
And that's all.
Any other questions for Jim? Colleen, I do have a question. You said that they're revising on 386 the square footage.
Yes.
Could you speak to that a little bit?
They're wanting to do a fairly extensive building project involving a big garage studio, small studio sort of house, a pergola structure with some solid roofing with an outdoor kitchen, an RV shelter, pump house, and all I did was I got the architect plans and I said, you know, we have a special definition of combined square footage where we count eaves and porches. I said, please resubmit the plans with those numbers, and Hunter didn't think we were interpreting our own ordinance correctly. So anyway, we've gone back and forth a little bit, and he's revised it.
Where is
to comply with it? Square footage. Is it the bottom of the house? Not the bottom exactly, but where they tore down that house.
Oh, okay.
That was bomb.
Lisa Carey's.
So, anyways, they're going to fill up the lot in Winkle.
So, are these buildings going to be connected?
No.
There were two kitchens, one indoor.
I brought that. It was, I was maybe going to have to ask the clerk of the council because they were going to have a small residence, like a studio apartment sort of thing, with a bedroom and a small kitchen and a bathroom and all that. And then in addition, this outdoor kitchen, which was going to have a standard kitchen under a solid wood part of it. And I said, you know, we only allow one kitchen. And he said he removed the kitchen from the residence. So they're going to have only an outdoor kitchen. It's a weird one. And it was the first time I've seen this. It would have a wall on three sides, be open on the fourth side to a pergola area. So,
thank you.
Just for clarification, sometimes people on a patio have an outdoor, like, barbecue area.
That doesn't count as
that doesn't count.
We
have a sink and
we functionally define a kitchen by the ring, by standard.
Oh, I see. Okay, the ring, yeah.
Because you can have a fridge or a mini fridge in a studio. Sinks in workshops and things.
Okay.
The one kitchen-y item, like in the ordinance where we decommission a kitchen, it's written that you can remove the stove or its power source in order to decommission a kitchen.
I see.
So functionally it's the stove.
Thank you. Thank you for the question.
Okay, the Water Advisory Committee meeting was canceled, so I have no report. And as far as procedural matters, I'd like to bring up an idea if we could please get that language up on the screen, which is there in the bottom. Jocelyn and I have talked about this. And I believe with that, and I can't see it from here, so I may need some help. Thank you.
Yeah.
You'll see that the composition of the Planning and Land Use Commission allows for two alternates. And you know, for some time now, I've been hearing this perceptual decrease of the value placed on accumulated or institutional knowledge. And in the case of sometimes we've been close to not having forum at some of our meetings, where we're sitting here with two, hoping for a third to show up. It might be worthwhile thinking of it. And in the case of some of us who may be gone for medical or for travel or for whatever, the possibility of having a designated alternate who would be up to speed on the information that is being discussed in all of our meetings, so that if we needed a person, they could be informed ahead of it and be there at the meeting to be a voting member.
And so when we just recently needed two positions still, did we have more people than those two people want? No. Okay.
That's going to be one issue with filling the alternate positions. However, people might be more willing to sign up for a alternate position because it doesn't require you to show up to every.
Well, and there is the possibility, and I discussed this with Lori,
and it would be my case when I turn. If I'm still alive, I would be inclined to keep up with the information that goes on because it's part of me, it's part of my interest, right? I sit on two boards, two state boards, and in each case, I have a designated alderman. Right? And it really helps in the cases where I'm not able to attend in person. If it's an in-person meeting, we need to have that designated alternate be able to attend. When I was teaching and in the classroom and had a position, a national position on a board, and I'd have to leave for a week or more, I had a substitute teacher who I had interviewed who could step in and keep my whole class curriculum going, that I could trust to do so, instead of just letting the kids do whatever, right? Which is often the case. And so I'm bringing this up at this point for your consideration to think about what that would need to look like as far as changing the language to make sure and ensure that this would be, because I think it's important to have this be a seamless process, that person would be able to be informed ahead of time. Like in my case, I don't know where I'm going to be in October, November, as far as trekking in the fall. I might be able to tune in, but I might not.
Be trekking where?
In the fall.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So in something like that, or if, say, someone is out on medical leave for a while in Canada, there could be an alternate. Now, I talked with Marie about this possibility. She would be inclined to be that person.
That would be great. She has some familiarity.
So I just want you commissioners to think about the possibility and what that might look like.
Okay.
That's a good idea. I don't see any issue with it. I mean, my concern is we already have enough firms with intelligence to regulate it.
Right.
Might be easier to make happen. Definitely something to think about.
Okay.
So, Matt, how did you become aware?
Marie Hill asked me.
Yeah,
I think it seems wise and does seem like an opportunity for people, as they maybe have at the end of their term, to still be involved and maintain the institutional knowledge of the comments. I don't have any objections.
I'm not sure what the process would be as far as changing that. We could put it on the agenda. The process of designating that would need to be approved by you and the town council.
Yeah.
Just like a regular.
So in that case, we would need to come up with the language of what we wanted to do, right? And the process.
The ordinance already allows for it.
It allows for it, but what would the process be for you and the town? Okay.
And I recommend we listen to the council to find out if some are interested in being an alternate. So if I get a letter of interest from someone to be an alternate member, then I'll go ahead and interview them and send my recommendation to the council for their approval.
Okay.
Then I don't think you need to change the order for them, gosh.
Okay.
Did you make a comment?
Well, I think what Brian and I were referring to is sort of a job description for what the clerk would expect of an alternate member.
Oh, and that is right, something like that. Yeah, when they were getting in. That's fine. So if we can advertise it, but then we for an that doesn't require an ordinance. No.
The only thing on the ordinance that the possibility to change would be saying that it had somebody that had already given them funding. But there was somebody that
who has the institutional knowledge and
is the one
historical has to
think.
I think we need to revisit how we appoint members to the year.
Could you speak to that?
I just think that having one person interviewing members isn't a great practice. I think maybe having a whole council interview applicants is a better practice.
I agree.
Yeah. So if we're going to change something, I think we should revisit that as well.
Okay.
One comment I'll make to something you just said was saying alternates would have had to have been on the clock. I would think it would be a good idea to have it where people who haven't been on the clock would be an alternate and slowly get introduced and then potentially one of them. Is that an idea? Go ahead. Yes. But
Mark, to pull someone in as a voting member, they don't have that already known.
I mean,
so then
in that case, it would be probably a non voting position because they don't have the experience.
So,
I understand.
But they could be like learning more of that. And as you have a quorum that can fulfill the vote with the institutional knowledge, and they can just abstain for that one if they don't feel comfortable with.
They kind of be a mess.
But if you already have a quorum, what was the point of calling them in as an alternate?
Yeah, it wouldn't. It wouldn't be. Point.
First of all, they could just come to meetings if they're interested,
yeah,
and get familiar. But on the process of choosing somebody, is there anything now that says you can't interview somebody and then when you give your recommendation to the council that they could interview the person?
It's just the process of having one person interacting with applicants.
I like the idea of having a meeting with the whole council.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that says the council can't ask more questions, but
that's what I was asking.
Or at least maybe you don't need the whole council there to interview them, but at least so many members of the council present.
Well, just be a forum.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, not necessarily the interview, but to approve their appointments, but to do the interview, you might not need all of them there. That could be a little problematic, getting everybody rounded out.
But you do it under meetings.
Yeah, do it under meetings.
Yeah.
So you're talking about doing the interview in the meeting.
In public. That's correct.
Okay.
Well, and that's what the UVA board of directors are.
Other boards do it.
Yeah, other boards do it. So it would be the council.
It's awkward. It's really awkward. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So historically, has the mayor had that experience?
Yeah. Sounds like
yeah. Yeah. Well, the mayor was calling that I can take a huge problem to attend the meeting. It would just be more.
Thank you. Thank you. Correct.
We just let it happen like organically, like someone comes and wants to do it, or we sort of seek them out.
Well,
we would have the time, but we have to, right?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Business. So we are to item number six, discussion on a proposed farm stand on lot 161 and if it requires a conditional use permit and, if so, whether it should be routine or non-routine. Pauline sent out in the packet. A well-crafted explanation. It's super well done. Very informative. How
Do you think we ought to read this all aloud into the record or something?
Well, because there's nobody online, probably not, unless somebody who is here hasn't seen it, or I could just read the introduction.
They're not in the public packet.
It's in the packet, but.
And it should be.
But I have
yeah. Two extra copies here if somebody wants another.
Would you like to read the introduction?
Just the introduction.
Thank you.
Because I haven't had further thoughts about this.
Okay. Well, you can do it now and have the introduction.
Well, okay. The info on this is Jeff and Duncan on lot 161 has for several years been operating a farm stand on her property. She asked, I have a question about what kind of permit I would need in order to allow other farmers to participate in my farm stand. I'm thinking of a conditional use permit, but it couldn't be limited to 5 customers by appointment, which is one of the requirements on a conditional use permit. Only because farm stands just don't work that way. For instance, if I wanted to let my next door neighbor put her eggs on in my porch fridge, or someone else was helping me with Saturday produce days, and they could also bring produce from their property. And what if we could also include homemade food items, such as baked goods? I have opinions about in terms of the procedure, there are some. If you're looking at the spirit of the ordinance rather than just the letter, there are some conflicting things in the ordinance. The only reason that you might need to get a conditional use permit is 3 little words. In Ordinance 85.3, Section 4.2D, which allows a permitted use without needing a permit, is one stand for the display and sale of agricultural and livestock products raised on the premises. I think maybe we should consider changing that to in Castle Valley. Anyway, if it wasn't for that, those 3 words, as the BPA wouldn't have had any problem just saying we don't need a permit for this. And also the 2 general operating requirements that I listed there are assembly blocks for what Jasmine wants to do, which seems like if you're reading the letter of the ordinance, it becomes overly restrictive for something that is encouraged in the general plan, which is local agriculture. A large part of the reason we have conditional use permits is to limit impacts on neighbors. And a large part of that is traffic. Jasmine's right on Castle Valley Drive. To get to her house, you drive maybe 100 feet on the dirt road. There's already traffic on Castle Valley Drive. I do not think traffic would be an issue there. So that's one consideration. I listed some points to consider. And one thing Ryan brought up, and I talked to him the other day, was we have this farm stand on the town lot where anybody can put stuff there. I don't know. Everybody didn't set though.
We also allow the farmers benefit on the property here in the town.
There are precedents. Anyway, the further thoughts I was having was I was revisiting chapter 3 in the ordinance, which specifies the responsibilities of various bodies. Plus the BPA as well and the county council and the AI consultant thought that what could decide whether or not a test is even needed or whether it should be routine or non-routine. But it really looks like if you decide that a conditional use permit is required, then that's a recommendation you could probably make to the council and let them decide. That's the question. Any permit at all, a routine permit or a non-routine permit in which a condition could be imposed, which I would see as only being if there's too much traffic. Although if there was no conditional use permit, that issue could be addressed under the nuisance ordinance and the complaint process. So Any questions?
Any questions?
For me or for Jeff?
Just a comment, it seems to me it would be better folks to be going to one place instead of more than one place for these farm items.
Makes sense to me.
One consideration that I thought of essentially with traffic, like in this case, traffic really wouldn't be an issue because you're right on Pass Valley Drive, but if somebody like Jeff Whitney was doing it, it's the whole length. So that might be one thing to consider. But I mean, again, farm stands are probably not going to be high traffic. But, I mean, how many people think?
Every day that I have unreported.
Yeah, how many customers do you have on the farm stand? Like 15 or 20?
No.
It's probably not that big of a
deal.
Yeah.
I mean, I would like to see that change, because, you know, I think maybe there's purpose, I think, that some other stuff, you know.
But.
Yeah.
Speaking to your point about, say, Jeff Whitney doing one, you can do it right now without a permit. The only question is, could the people.
Oh, that's what it's a
shared stand. So.
Well, here's my take on it. As far as the farm stand, that's, yes, that is allowed. Following the same. And drop-ins are allowed for farm stands at that park. As I think food sailing. But the clause about it stuff being products that were raised on the premises, I think that if you allow that, it could look like favoritism to the premises. I could question that. So I would think that, well, that's one question. I also question whether or not you would need a Utah Department of Agriculture and Food.
I deal with that.
Yeah, but for people like the Cal Valley Creamery and Floodhouse Farms, they get a conditional use permit.
I guess it's non-specific on the state
yeah.
Office.
Yeah, they're yeah. Different. They're different.
Well, I know that our conditional use permit application, you have to list.
I know.
You know, your title. So, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's just what I thought. That has to come up. Whether or not it's been on the go.
Clear. Yeah, I think most of the things that we have done with Utah. Yeah, or and I'm already registered.
Uh-huh. Right. And then I was questioned since this introduction I haven't seen before. You know, mentioned baked goods, and I wonder if selling them might run into the same problem. Baked goods that in the past under your. You know, creamery, your dairy license.
That's not, yeah, there's a lot of laws that technically you have to know about, you know.
Well, yeah, yeah, and with each kitchen, you know, you have people being get that so, baked good with each kitchen.
Yeah. Basically, it's kind of things like that, and you're doing direct sales too.
But yeah. Well, that was something that, you know, I didn't really want to be considered. So, basically, this is amazing. Think about that under. And so I couldn't remember whether the creamery and farmhouse fudge, they were probably non-routine applications, is that correct? They did have extra licensing.
I think, well, the extra licensing falls under the routine. I would have to look and see that the creamery is no longer.
Yeah,
operating as an additional use.
But it's so dead, it can just use permit. And they got one in 2025.
Yeah, they do, but not for their commercial operation.
Well, okay, the point is that, and they do have, they are licensed with the state, and they do get a permit every year. So So we would want to be consistent. So if they had to do a non-routine application, then this would be the same situation when they're selling yogurt and
yeah, tea. But what I'm doing doesn't require the same permit that it's in for the you call legislature because we've only done a lot of it.
Okay. Well, and they were commercial. And they
they've quit selling like to the Moonflower. They won't sell locally to
direct. Right. That's yeah. I don't sell the restaurants or yeah.
The you know it seems to me that then that okay those things aren't really a problem. But I see the farm stand covers you're allowing drop-ins, but the ordinance clearly states that it's supposed to be produce grown on the premises. So I think the appropriate thing to do would be to, you know, say that you could do all of this, but you couldn't have a food, you couldn't have other people contributing until the ordinance was changed. And the general plan and the survey that we just had showed that the public was interested in supporting agriculture, and the plot in response to that is supposed to look at changes that you can make to the ordinances to support that sentiment. And it would seem to me that this would be a case to look at ways to support agriculture and then to propose amendments to to the general plan, but in the meantime, you wouldn't allow others to join you.
I think, for a permit, mm-hmm. you would have to.
What?
I think if I applied for a permit to do that, mm-hmm. you would have to. Even if you impose conditions, you can't deny that.
Well, what do you mean if you're applying for what permission to have them come in and join you?
Right.
All right, but then the book would look at the ordinances and say that these other things aren't being raised in your premises, so we would be in violation.
So it requires a permit. It's not allowed you, it's a permit.
So it's my understanding the main reason for a conditional use permit is it gets reviewed once a year. If there's neighbors who thinks there needs to be extra conditions attached to that because of some observation they've made, then you deal with that. Is not that the main reason for a conditional use permit? To have some follow through to be checking it out?
Interesting thoughts that I had in looking through it. And it's not that I don't want you to do it.
No, I do. I do.
I would have to try to go back and look at the application forms and see whether just because you're applying for a conditional use permit that you can still violate one line of ordinance. And I'll do that and see what I think after that.
I would like to address the exception thing as well as somebody mentioned there could be a perception of favoritism. And that would be one reason for going the conditional use permit route. That would remove the perception of favoritism. If somebody's going to have a farm stand just with their own stuff, they don't need any permit at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not going to ask me if I have a license from the state or anything. You're not even going to
know. The only thing that makes it special is a request to allow other local gardeners and farmers to share the farm stand site.
Mm-hmm.
And that our ordinance was not specific to. It's there's conflicts in it. And I think cite that state law that says that there's ambiguity or conflicts,
that we're required to find in favor of the landowner. But in this case, because it is the mayor and it is my supervisor, and she's already given me like the conditional use permit application filled out, but I just, because of these various things, because with a park stand, you can have drop-ins. With the conditional use permit, you're not supposed to have drop-ins. Now, the state law says you cannot deny a conditional use application unless the perceived impacts are unmitigable, which in this case is if 50 people are just stopping by your place every Saturday or whatever, then that would be addressed as a condition somehow. But anyway, I see the most bonkers way to deal with this is to make a recommendation to the council for a conditional use permit, if only to remove the perception of favoritism.
And that would be a non-repeat application.
I wasn't sure that's why I was bringing it up.
Why can't she just do a conditional use permit right now and the select change that language to be keep stuff within Castle Valley, like four words, change it next month, and just go with it?
I see where people might think that term.
Yeah, well, I think it's part of the term process anyway. But I'm for me, a fairly exploratory question to begin with.
Yeah.
And you're guiding me through what the stuff would be. I'm not in a rush to do this. But it is something I want to consider because I've had conversations with other farmers and none of us are getting younger. We want to be able to continue providing local food for regional sustainable food, you know, but it's easier for us to do the things when we partner with other people. So if changing those words is all that's needed, I don't need a permit right this minute, and I'm fine with going through a public process with the ordinance if that's what needs to happen, because I need other people to be allowed to do the same thing.
As long as it doesn't make too much traffic, essentially.
The condition of the location is also a consideration in this case. So, Jeff Whitney wouldn't be able to do the same thing. Is that correct?
He couldn't have a permit.
Yeah, but he couldn't. I think it's more about the ruling
universal where that comes.
But the patient level starts to become an issue.
Yes, but if there's also, or it could be, let's put it that
way. If there were complaints.
If you have a longer road, there's more people to potentially make complaints, something like that. If most farm stands are going to be between 5 and 10 people showing up or whatever, no one's even going to know. Because it takes one person making a construction job down the road, and there's going to be 10 times as much traffic. So one of the reasons for me bringing all this stuff up is just kind of all the considerations that could happen. In my opinion, like, in some ways, it's just chance that you were the person who asked this question. It's not necessarily that we're trying to do an exception or whatever, because we do have a general plan of saying we do want to do more agricultural stuff. And shared farm stand kind of makes sense. I mean, we do already have one here. I don't know whether that helps or harms the argument, because we already have one, but I think it would make sense that there's less traffic going all over the valley if there's individual ones that people can go. But those are just kind of comments, thoughts on it.
Well, the other questions that I have that Colin wrote in your little synopsis were about, like, I mean, where's my bottle lock across the street from us? And I put in a well and moved part of my vegetable production to that lot.
And it's also the same.
apartment and I can run.
That would require two.
Three across the street.
The on the premises.
Both ways.
The on the premises part to me doesn't necessarily sense because I don't. There's almost no possibility of it turning into a huge scale thing.
I'm going to make a recommendation to change the wording on this. So instead of on the premises raised in Castle Valley, that was.
Thank you. Holy.
It seems to me, Jasmine Mosley, almost that brought this up partly to start the discussion, and you're not in any particular hurry, that maybe what you should switch to is, like Jocelyn said, start talking about maybe amending the ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jasmine could wait until that possibly happens to invite other people. And there could have been shared farm stands going on all the time, and we never knew. It's only because Jasmine is
going to come for 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, also, Jasmine is more, you know, aware of rules and things than the average person. It might not have ever occurred to them that two neighbors can't get together and sell their lettuce or whatever.
Yeah, because as I remember, there was a former fly-by-night president who wanted to do something similar in the past.
Mm-hmm. What?
That was all on his stuff.
Yeah, that was his stuff.
That was his stuff.
So, and then,
if I may restate sort of my understanding and clarity, it seems like there's broad agreement suggesting that we change it to within Castle Valley, which includes people who have sort of definition of like the size of the precinct. Because in theory, what could prevent? In some future scenario, somebody, you know, put more
like a bit on
this market.
There's quite a lot of limitations.
Yeah.
There's quite a bit of limitations.
So, you know, I think that, I don't know, right now I'm speaking with directly, but probably something to consider. But otherwise, my own personal opinion would be to recommend the change of the language, maybe with some further consideration.
What is the
market? Yeah, really. Yeah, exactly. What if, you know, to keep within the code of work. Yeah. But the further permission change, if we were to require a conditional use permit, then suddenly you're restricted and we have to deal with 5 cars per day.
Correct. And which way really the end was.
Right.
Well, but one way to look at that is that your conditional use permit is for a farm stand, which allows drop.
But you don't even need a conditional use for a farm stand. So, well, because we're really only asking for the other people to be allowed in. Everyone else is doing. I mean, thank you.
Well, right, but then if what you're doing with the, you know, the dairy products, you know, when you're looking at the new bigger commercial table, like Dutch House Farms is something in the creamery, and if there are different rules that I wasn't aware of, then
yeah,
basically, I don't even need a conditional use.
So do
you just keep doing what you're doing?
Do you have produce? Not right now. I'm not enough to set things up.
But she has some years past.
Oh, yeah. The grasshoppers. They're only going to be one this year.
But if somebody did have a farm stand, that's when they got too big. And because it's agricultural, it would not have required a permit to begin with. Then any impacts that turn out to be problematical could be dealt with through the formal complaint process and the nuisance for that. It's a two incompatible things in the ordinance, which again, the state requires this plan and the state. So
it's probably.
Yeah. And the cleanup would be three words.
Yeah. Which would require a...
Yeah.
Is this an 85-3?
Yeah. It's 85-3. 4-2-D, and it would be changed up. Just to rephrase for everyone, the change that we're kind of talking about is section 4.2B, permitted uses in 85-3. One stands for the display and sale of agricultural and livestock products raised on the premises would be changed to livestock products raised in pasture.
In the town?
In the town.
So, if we got in a public hearing.
But we don't have to put it in the district.
That's possible.
So we would have the public hearing and then we would just accept it. Okay.
We could do that in August.
In August?
Yeah.
Make it an agenda item?
Correct. We would have the public hearing and then it would be on the agenda for approval in the beginning of fall.
Okay.
By that time?
By that time, we might have seen some of the
Don't be taking any of the
Cross-breeding.
So we need to table.
Correct.
Okay. I move that we table new business item number 6.
Motion to table Dorje is the second.
I'll second that.
Second, Janie, all in favor?
Aye.
This item has been tabled. I think we have a ready to finish up. So there has been some discussion about pulling some of the bullet points in unfinished business, narrowing our focus. And I have heard it suggested that those things that have already been taken care of, that will move off their growing list.
Absolutely. I will confer with that.
Go in.
Because I like to add some to the list. So we might as well remove
the... So I want to stay the same length as what you're saying.
Yeah.
On one seat.
That's a better question also. About the dating form. I'm trying to make them all look consistent. So if I'm not changing any of the content, but just changing the layout and maybe moving the Google signature to page 1 instead of where you have to flip through to find it, does that need to go through an approval? I'm not changing the content of the form, just the design and layout of it.
Well, I would call that administrative. And that, yes, you can do that.
Makes sense to call it.
Yeah.
But if it's a new form, so if it's administrative, it wouldn't have to have any of that
doesn't require.
Well, there are still some that the more I have to use them, the more I'm like, I really want to take this. Like all the conditional use.
If all the words and all the text boxes and lines are all still there, somewhere in it, I don't think
that's given to you during the
do you have any specific
for right now the redesign or for update?
Let's take four.
On just the redesign, I would have to, I don't remember what I put in, but for updating, I would like to add on the forms.
We can do that for workers.
Because they're
They're ugly?
Ugly. And they have stuff that anyway I'd like to update.
So you want to beautify them?
Partly.
Okay. Make it more efficient, effective.
And have a
look. Well, one of the things that you have changed, like with the land disturbance forms, is now the signature blocks and things like that are front page, right up front. So if you pull out a permit out of the plot, you can be like, okay, here's all the signatures, here's all.
Yeah, we used to have a big rubber stamp that said proof. It would have an immovable date on it, but we moved past the last date, so we used it. The first thing is to see if it's been approved. Okay, I'm just done this change, but in the non-routine solar energy system,
oh, that's major.
If you're changing the size of the allowed, installation and things like that, that one's getting a major revision. Right now, the town application asks for a whole lot of technical stuff in the county's purview. We have no business to have to put some of that. So that one, those are my two things about that.
Okay. Thank you. So there's no need for a closed meeting. We need a final motion.
I move to adjourn.
I'll second.
Motion to adjourn Dorisdale. The vote is unanimous.
Why do you not say what I'm doing?